ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। ॐ नमो भगवते वासुदेवाय। This is a curtain. It's put for. We're going to offer, make an offering, is it? This is an ISKCON innovation. The Shastra says that one should not take darshan of the Lord while he's eating. Actually, the curtain should be closed, according to Shastra. Anyway, you should ask the Tamil president, I guess. I shouldn't implement changes, but. That's the actual system. People don't eat in front of, at least in India, people didn't like to use eat in front of others, right? We used to see even on the train, people that put a sari around the family so they wouldn't see, or they'd sit with their back so people wouldn't see them eating. So God also, it's not proper that he should be giving darshan. It's like in the darbar or the Raj Sabha, the king, he doesn't eat there. There's time and a place for everything, right? So this is his darbar. Cell phones off, please. Everyone, please take out your cell phone. Everyone has a cell phone, right? Take it out and hit the switch which turns it off, whatever that switch may be. Before getting into the main subject of what I intend to speak about this evening, I'll share a few words which I shared with you. What's your name? Sorry, I must have taken it before, but I didn't know. Manish. Manish, the rascal, was driving and brought out his cell phone. I mean, not such a rascal, but not that bad. But anyway, just for emphasis. So I made the point to him. I said, it's for the sake of safety. And I said to him, I'm just sharing this with all of you because it's pertinent to all of us, that several devotees around the world are killed every year in road accidents, and many thousands of other people are killed. In Bangalore last year, almost 1,000 people were killed on the roads. That's in road accidents, not to speak of others who were injured or had their cars damaged, and etc., etc. So it is very dangerous driving. There's just a thin sheet of metal between your body and whatever happens to be. If there's a collision, it may be a bus or a truck. So every time you drive, it's very dangerous. Therefore, full attention is required. Traffic rules should be followed. No cell phone driving, no clicking driving. Actually, this clicking, better don't click. Use beads anyway, in any time, place or circumstance. But clicking, that also means you don't have full control on the wheel. And most accidents happen, it's not like you have 2 minutes to think about what to do. You have a split second, if you even have that much. So you need full control on the wheel, two hands on the wheel. So many devotees are involved in accidents. Various reasons for this are lack of sleep is very common. Driving too fast. not following basic precautions like no cell phone driving. If you have to speak on the phone while you're driving, just pull to the side, stop, speak, and then go on. Cell phone clicking or having the beep bag while driving. Is this echo on? Please turn the echo function off. And another reason is foolish belief that because I am a devotee, therefore Krishna is obliged to protect me, even if I don't drive properly, even if I don't follow the rules of the road, even if I'm negligent, Krishna has to look after me. So no one wakes up in the morning and thinks, today I'm going to get killed on the road, or today I'll be in a serious accident. No one ever thinks it will happen to me. But it can do. It's less likely to happen if we follow some basic precautions. So please do so. All right, I just thought I'd share that with you. And what I've chosen to speak about this evening is education, Vedic and modern. Of course, these are very broad categories. To say Vedic education or modern education, they're very broad categories. I often speak about modern education, as came up in the toward the end of the class that I gave this morning at Sri Jagannath Mandir. I spoke, as I often did, that modern education, it's for making asses, ass education. This is not my invention. This Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Joro vidya jato mayar vaibhav, tomar bhajane badha. Moha janamya anitya sangsare jivke kariye gadha. He says that materialistic education is simply a display of maya, illusion, and is an obstacle in worshipping Krishna. And in this world of illusion, it creates more illusion. Mohajanamaya, in this temporary world, and makes an ass of the jiva. Why an ass? Well, there are various reasons for that. An ass carries heavy loads for no benefit for himself. So mundane education means that we carry lots of information in our mind which actually doesn't benefit us. It's not necessary for us. But we think that we need to do it. So, Shegarda Hoye. What is that? Shegarda Hoye. Bhoja Bahinu. Aneko Kal. Bhaktivinoda Thakur says that I, for many years, becoming such an ass, for many years, I carried such weights. So I often say these things, ass education, or for joining the rat race. And I can see when I say this that people are like, it's very difficult for them to hear. It hurts. It's very painful for them to hear these things, because in India, traditionally, education has been very highly esteemed. Maybe more than in any other country in the world, in Indian culture. The Brahmana class was highly esteemed for its learning. But of course, modern education is different from what was traditionally imparted to the Brahmana class. Education is still highly esteemed in India today, as we see, when people meet, at least our devotees, they tell me, when they'll often go to a college for distributing books, and the principal, they meet the principal, and the principal, the first question will be, what is your educational qualification? This is the new caste system in India. Before, people were judged by their caste, and now, what is your educational qualification? That's considered a symbol of your status. How much you're educated. And money, of course, that's the main thing. But if you're highly educated, that's considered very prestigious. So I see that it's painful for devotees to hear me say these things, which is why I say it. Not just to make you feel pained, but the fact that you are pained means that you need to hear it. If you can understand this and accept this, then maybe there's no need to say it. But if you feel pained by hearing this actual fact, then you need to hear it. Means that you're also partaking in the illusion that modern education is beneficial. And actually, this whole midday meals program, which was a contribution of Bangalore to the... This idea was dreamed up here in Bangalore and got exported from the Ritvik world to the regular ISKCON world. It's all based on this idea that we're helping the children by... They can get food so they can get an education, and we're developing the nation. It's good for the nation. They make this whole propaganda about developing the nation, which means that you work hard and someone else makes a lot of money out of you. And they give you some money. Here, take 20,000 rupees, 50,000 rupees. And whoever, if you're getting paid 50,000, oh, I'm earning 50,000 rupees a month. But the person who's squeezing every drop of your blood while giving you 50,000 rupees is earning 50 crores out of your 50,000 rupees work. And it's called developing the nation. That means a few people, they're rich, and everyone else is working like an ass. But that propaganda is there, that... Education, you see, it's the gateway to progress. That's another bogus thing they've dreamed up. It is the progress of the nation that we have flyovers. Why do we have flyovers? Now, you see, Bangalore, all Indian cities, they're becoming full of flyovers. This is progress. It's progress because we don't get so much traffic jams. Well, before there weren't traffic jams, so there's no need of flyovers. So with the progress is now you have a car so you can easily go from one place to another. But then you can't go easily from one place to another because there's a traffic jam. So then make a flyover. And that solves the problem. But it doesn't solve the problem. In America there are so many freeways and 12 lanes. Jam-packed every day. And this average speed is like 3 miles an hour, something like that. So there's a theory, the more roads you build, the more people get cars to fill them up. It's like that in one family, then you have the family car, then you have 2 cars per family, 3 cars per family, 2 cars per person. And people, they won't walk anywhere. Walking? What's that? That's what you do. That's what you do when you get up. You go from the bed to the toilet, and that's all. That's the furthest you walk. Oh yeah, for exercise, right? Sometimes they do jogging, but otherwise, you go everywhere by a car. But actually, what I was just talking to a doctor the other evening here in Bangalore. And he told me that, you see, we don't... I told him we have a temple in Seshadripura. He said, actually, we don't go more than 2 kilometers. It's just too tiresome. So it's come back to the same thing anyway. You have a car so you can go to other places. But you don't want to go out to other places, you get caught in a traffic jam. So what's the benefit of having a car? Anyway, that's another subject. I don't want to get too much into progress. I was talking about education, but the idea is that education helps us to have you have to have engineers so you can build flyovers. And then you have to have psychologists because to help people to get free from stress. And then when all these progressive people with high education and high salaries, they all end up in the that's another burgeoning industry in Bangalore, the mental hospital industry for all the people who go crazy. I mean, there are plenty of them, right? Bangalore is famous. Work hard, get a degree, get a good job, work harder, earn more money, and then go to the mental hospital. That's... That's it. That's the cycle. And if you saved any money from the lakhs that you were earning, if you didn't spend it all in the pub or on the shirts, which they sell you for 2,000 rupees a shirt, and if you didn't have the brand name on it, you couldn't tell the difference from another one that's being sold for 45 rupees. And if you have any money left over, then you can afford to go to the high-class mental hospital where all the rich people go. You see, they all have degrees. I know an IITian who's just completely nuts. Just went crazy. So, young man. So this idea that modern education is benefiting us, it's a big illusion. So I've spoken about that many times, and I'll go on speaking about it many times, because our own devotees seem to be much taken up by that illusion. What to speak of the general public, thinking that this is actually something beneficial for you. This Shudra mentality of thinking, if I don't get this piece of paper, this certificate, then I can't get a job, then how can I live? So I wanted to contrast that with Vedic education, which again is not a monolithic category. There may be so many varieties within that general category of Vedic education. There is a difference. We're not against education at all. Our movement, as Srila Prabhupada said, should not be propagated as a religious movement, but as a cultural, philosophical, scientific, and educational movement meant for the re-spiritualization of the entire world. Our movement is an educational movement. But that education is not education how to become an ass. And literally, it's not just metaphorically, but literally, modern education will make you into an ass, and a dog, and a cat, and there are 8,400,000 categories that you can get after getting your degree and your job, and then you have what is your future going to be by the mundane education? You will be a cat, and a dog, and a chicken, and a goat, and a housefly, and a mosquito, and 8 million varieties of experiences you can experience. Vedic education is meant for preparing us so that we don't have to get born again. That is the purpose of Vedic education. Education is required. The ultimate aim is how to get free from birth and death. Guru na sasyat, swajano na sasyat. What is that? Patisna chasyat. No, I'm forgotten. Janani na sasyat, pita na sasyat, janani na sasyat. Patisna na chasyat. I'm sorry, I forgot the verse. But the punchline is namochi adya samapetu mrityam. that one should not become a guru. One should not become a relative. Daivanna sasya janana sasya. One should not accept worship or respect from others. One should not become a mother. Patisna nachasya. One should not become a husband unless one can deliver one's dependence from birth and death. This is the injunction of the Bhagavatam. This is the purpose of education. So, education is essential. But what is the aim of that? First of all, that should be ascertained. Within knowledge, there are three categories. Sambandha, Abhideya, Prayojan. First, the goal should be ascertained. Where are we heading for? This Stephen Covey, you may remember him, he was fashionable some 20 years ago or so. So he said, start with the goal in mind. That was one of his seven habits of a highly successful person. Start with the goal in mind. So what is it? First of all, we should see, what is the purpose? What is it all aiming for? Now, modern education, the purpose is simply how to make money. That's it. Beginning, middle, and end. It's not even that you'll be happy. It's just how to make money. That's so people who have... People who have got the best ability or who happen to be born in a Christian family or a backward caste family, they get into the medical slots. And if you can't get in medical, then you get in engineering. And if you can't get in engineering, then you go for physiotherapy or something like that. And then when you get down bottom, then you go for Ayurveda, and then you call yourself Dr. So-and-so, but... You try and cheat people, but actually it's Ayurvedic or homeopathic. But the top line, or the most intelligent, actually not necessarily most intelligent, but those who can swat a lot, those who can discipline themselves to sit down and cram information, they can get in the medical school. And why do people go to medical school? There's no noble motive that I will help others. It's simply that you can earn more money, that's all. It's a good way for earning money. And then, like I said, engineering, whatever earns the most, that's what you should do. One result of this is that no one's happy. There are various reasons why people aren't happy in the modern age. One reason is that people are doing not what they want to do, not what suits their propensity, but they're just doing it because they get money. You do a job, and the main thing is how much money will you earn? So Vedic education is not aimed at making a livelihood. In Vedic culture, there's no concept of how to make a living. No one thinks about that. In the traditional culture, there's no question of how to make a living. There's no unemployment. It's just one is trained to perform a function within society. Now, education, rigorous education, is for Brahmana boys. And Kshatriyas, also they rigorous education, well, that will be more in the fighting art. And Vaishyas, not very much. You'll find that even until recently in India, the boys from business families, they wouldn't have much. You'd see the boys at 7, 8 years old in the shop. They'd be in the shop. That was their training. They may not know even how to read and write. They didn't need to. Nowadays they send them for Master of Business. What is it? Master of Business something. MBA something like that. Master of Business Administration. But those who've got it, the feel of how to do business, they don't need that. And if you don't have the feel, you can have master, PhD, and you won't be able to do anything. You see, so many people start a business and it flops, just flops. They may have their MBA, but they lose all their money, and they take a loan and they lose that, and then they just have to work some ordinary job to pay for 20 years to pay off the debt, which the money they invested, they thought they're going to make lots of money. Whereas you see, just like in Ahmedabad, there's this Nirma. What's his name? Karsan Patel or something like that. So he's quite close to our devotees. He can hardly read or write. He only speaks Gujarati. He's tried to learn a little English. But he came from a village, but he saw an opportunity for making money, and he's one of the biggest businessmen in India. No degree. Nothing like that. So Vaishyas, they didn't require very much education. Little something. And Shudras, well, a formal education. It means their education is they're in the shop or whatever. They're trained on the job. Just like Krishna, his education was, before he went to Sandipanimuni, he was being trained as this Nandanandana. You take the cows out. That's on-the-job training, right? And Shudras also, they may have a complex job, just like a carpenter. Now, previously, a carpenter doesn't mean you just make a bed. You get make some planks of wood, but it would be very ornately carved. Everything would be very beautiful, beautifully carved. So they would learn that from their father. It's an education, right? And they do that. They serve society by making pots or wooden items, whatever it may be. They perform service to society in that way, and they're educated as much as they need. What is the use? You see, nowadays they have this thing, everyone should go to school. What is the use of going to school if you're going to drive a rickshaw? What do you need to have a big education to drive a rickshaw? And then everyone can read, and what are they reading? Then they make pornographic literature, newspapers full of sports news. All these sports are required because people have education and they have to have something to read about, and they don't have any higher goal in life. So just to divert them, to fill up their minds, which they've filled it up with ABC, so they invent it. Now they have this cricketer's favorite color, and this cricketer, what does he eat for breakfast, and all this kind of thing. And that becomes, and then they give you a general knowledge test when you go for, you know, what is such and such cricket player's wife's name, and that's supposed to be general knowledge. It's just all giving education to people who have no higher motive in life just means you're going to fill their head with more rubbish. So education was there for everyone, but mostly the people who didn't have a formal education, they would hear repeatedly Mahabharata, Ramayana, Srimad Bhagavatam, and they would get a better education than you have in the modern age. Better education means, just like Srila Prabhupada, he was walking once in Vrindavan, and one farmer, he came up and he was working in the field early in the morning. He saw Srila Prabhupada walking with his disciples. The farmer came and offered obeisances to Srila Prabhupada. Prabhupada said, just see, he's more spiritually advanced than so many professors in the West. This farmer, he can't read and write. That was understood. But he knows sadhus, they should be respected. There is God. I am in my present situation due to my previous life's activities. He knows all these things. That education is better that in terms of real value, of real progress and advancement for the human being, than all this education which makes you simply proud and you think, I'm so great, I don't need any religion, I don't believe in God. Or they take up religion and they have so many bizarre theories. Just like I said, this idea that the world will end in 2 years, that's been going on for the last 2,000 years. And even supposedly learned people, they'll make their calculations based on subtle hints they find in the Bible, and educated foolishness, that's all. Complex foolishness, compounded foolishness. So Vedic education was on a different basis altogether. In modern education, it's the idea is that, you see, we have learned, so we have done so much research and we have discovered so many things and we've become so advanced. The whole basis is that of man, the triumph of man. Man is going forward, coming out of the ignorance of the past where people were stupid and they believed in God, and now we're more advanced. That's the whole, this arrogance underlying modern education, that we have learned so many things by our own research. So it's based on arrogance, and it's meant for the progress of man in a basically atheistic outlook, whereas Vedic education is based on the premise that there is God, and knowledge comes from, everything comes from Him. Knowledge also comes from Him. How are you going to get a good education? It's not so much, your own endeavor should be there, but to get actual education, it depends on the mercy of Guru and God, Saraswati. It depends on their mercy. It's not simply that you learn. But actual knowledge cannot be had simply by cramming the brain with information. Then you become an ass. But actual understanding comes by mercy. Therefore, in the Vedic Gurukul, the children, they would not simply learn. It wasn't an exchange of money, that you pay so much and you go to a college and the teacher is paid and he teaches you as a job. But rather, why does the teacher teach? Because it's his dharma to do so. He was taught, and it's the dharma of a Brahmin to teach others. We see that Arjuna, he was learning from Drona, and Drishtadyumna was also learning. And Drishtadyumna was brought into the world for the very purpose of killing Drona. But Drona, he knew that. But he taught him the art of fighting, by which Drishtadyumna's whole aim of getting, or specific aim of taking up this knowledge, was to kill Drona. But Drona, he thought, it's my duty. My duty is to teach. So teaching as a duty, one serves, one learns by the mercy of the rishis and the acharyas, and one repays the debt to them by teaching others. It's not, education isn't something that you just, you get more and more and more and more just for your own benefit, so I can go ahead in the world. But you learn so that, certainly for one's own uplift, but that if one acquires knowledge, whatever the field may be, and that is meant for the helping others and benefiting others, so that one can serve others. So the whole attitude is completely different, isn't it? In the modern education, it's an economic exchange. The teacher's paid. The students, they don't respect the teachers because, anyway, the teachers, you're a servant. We paid you. We're paying you, so why should there be any respect? And they know the teacher doesn't care for them either, because he's just doing it for the money. And the teachers, they're not required to have any character. It's when I was in Denmark over, when was that, 30 years ago. Denmark is always considered one. Scandinavia is considered very progressive in terms of liberal outlook. Could you kindly tolerate not having the fan or having it on very low, please? Tang Tikshas from Bharata. We learn in. Please tolerate. It's not very hard. So there I learned that it was very common. That was 30 years ago. Who knows what they're doing now? But it was just considered normal that the teachers have sex with the children. That was considered just normal. Interestingly, in Denmark, the population of pigs is more than that of human beings. I wonder what it does to their consciousness. Pig country, Danish bacon, famous. They have that in America, Danish bacon? No, it's famous in Europe. So good character is not required of a teacher, because education is not for imparting good character, it's just for getting money. That's it. Beginning, middle, and end of education is just to get money. So what does it matter whether the teacher has good character? But in the Vedic system, there's no question of being a teacher unless the character is ideal. And such teachers, it's not that it was very difficult to find. Nowadays, even in our ISKCON, if anyone's even thinking about having a gurukul. Oh, by the way, I should define what I mean by gurukul, because it, like many other words, that's become distorted in the modern age. Gurukul nowadays, a gurukul means just a school like any other, but it's run by a society that's got something like Chinmayananda or something like that in the name. And they call their school a gurukul because it's run by an ostensibly religious organization. Or they teach all the same subjects as in the schools, but in the morning they chant a few mantras and they call it a gurukul. But that's not, when we say gurukul, or in our society also, what they call gurukul, it's like that. It's basically a school for making asses. They teach the, very proudly announce, we're teaching the Cambridge syllabus. And that's the education. And on the side, there might be a little Hare Krishna or something like that. But gurukul, according to the tradition and what Srila Prabhupada envisaged is where people go to learn shastra. What is the goal of life? How to act so that one may attain the goal of life? And particularly Prabhupada said that the education is meant for character training. It's not even so much what you learn in terms of ABC, but it's not so much cramming information, but there should be good character. But actually Vedic knowledge, it is the Vedic knowledge by its very character gives character training. Just like if we see Mahabharata, Ramayana, these are the two most famous narrations in Indian culture. Practically these two narrations are the backbone of Indian culture. And it's all about how one should have good character. What does it mean to have good character? How, by good character, one triumphs. How to maintain good triumph in the good character in the midst of the greatest adversity. How Rama, he didn't become angry at Kaikeyi. He didn't refuse, even though he had all material opulence just waiting for him, and everyone was ready to crown him, but no, I'll go to the forest. detachment. Asaktara nabhishvanga putra dara grihadishu. This in Bhagavad Gita, Lord Krishna says, this is knowledge, a symptom of knowledge. The one is not attached to home, wife, children, all these things. Detached. Aniketa, stiramatir. No home, not attached, but steady in mind. These are the qualities that are inculcated in Vedic education. So the character training, it wasn't so difficult to do as in the modern age, because the whole society was based on that. And Brahmanas were highly respected. Of course, you may say I'm talking in a very idealistic way, but this was basically the culture. Brahmanas were highly respected for their learning and their high character. Now, one devotee, one godbrother of mine, he told me he went to Oxford University. So at their, what do they call that, where they first come? Their first meeting? Induction or something. There's some word.
Orientation.
No, there's some other word. It's for orientation, yeah. But they, valedictory meeting or something like that. The professor who was addressing all the new students said, the main thing you have to learn at coming to Oxford University, one of the most prestigious, I mean, it's up there in the top five or six prestigious educational institutions in the world. And the professor said that the most important thing you have to learn here at Oxford is, the most important thing is not to get a degree. He said you can get through life without a degree, but you have to learn how to hold your drink, because you can't get through life without that. Hold your drink means that you can drink a lot of alcohol and still stand up and speak in a semi-coherent way. That means that you have to learn to drink a lot. Of course, nowadays, that was 40 years ago. Nowadays, the kids at age 12, they can hold their drink. There's no question of when they go to Oxford University. They're already well trained by the time they get there. But that, another devotee told me, he was distributing, this was way back when the Bhagavatam sets were coming out. Prabhupada was translating the Bhagavatam and the books were coming out one by one, the Bhagavatams. Nowadays you get the whole set. When I joined, it was the fourth canto, had just come. Chaitanya Charitamrita hadn't come, only one volume was there. So gradually they were coming one by one. So the devotees, certain devotees were going to the universities and taking standing orders. So we have these books, take these, and when the new one comes, we'll send them to you. So one devotee, he was looking for the professor of Indology at Oxford University. He went in the department, he couldn't find him, he went to the office, he couldn't find him. So he went in the bar, and he found him with one arm on one girl and one arm on another girl. And this is the person talking about teaching at Oxford University about Vedic culture. Another devotee told me in America, he was trying to find this. It was in the field of what they call Indology, one of the most famous professors. He found him at 10 o'clock in the morning in his office, stretched out on his desk, completely drunk. This is the character of the big famous professors. Maybe not all of them. But in the West, drinking, eating meat, having girlfriends, it's just normal. You're in a university. You're working, studied and worked. You could probably tell us more things. Anyway, there's no need to belabor the point. But there's no character. In modern education, actually, we find that the modern intellectuals are some of the most degraded people. And in the modern world, the intellectuals are in the vanguard of promoting degradation. This tolerance or promotion of homosexuality, that's all come out of the universities. The academia is rabidly, that means like a mad dog, pushing all these things. Whereas in Vedic, and the result of that is that even when we ourselves in ISKCON, if we want to find first class brahmanas to teach children, it's difficult to find because even our devotees, they come because of bad habits and bad training. It may be difficult to find someone who can be trusted to set a good example for children and behave properly with them. Such is the state of the world, especially in the West. Whereas in Vedic culture, when we talk about character training, it's not so much that you have to teach the boys, don't steal, don't lie, don't cheat, because that wasn't done. It just wasn't part of the society. So character training was automatically there. The boys would live with the guru and his wife. Generally the gurus were householders. And they'd live with them for years. So they would be like their parents. The teachers would be like the parents. And they would teach them everything. And the children would live with the gurus. And they would see, just by seeing their behavior, they'd automatically imbibe that. They'd imbibe good character. And people had such principles. They were so dedicated to this Vedic culture that they'd rather give up their life than give up their culture. And so many Brahmins, they died rather than accept Islam. They'd rather accept death than eat cow's meat and vilify the Vedas. They just couldn't do it. They could die, but they couldn't give up the principles by which they lived. So if people have so much faith and dedication to the Vedas and to Vedic culture, we can imagine what kind of education that is. It's not just learning and cramming something in the head, but the whole mentality one imbibes. Whereas in modern education, the whole mentality one imbibes is very low class. If we go in the student hostels in modern universities, we'll find they're filthy, dirty, and the minds of the students are dirtier still. It's a horrible situation. And these are to be the leaders of society. So how much is it needed that we have real Gurukul, where the children grow up, and again, it's not just they receive Vedic knowledge, they receive such knowledge. You see that previously in India there was so much philosophy. Nowadays people, they can't even begin to understand all the philosophy. Therefore, Harenama, 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 Eva Kevalam. If we try to understand how Madhva has broken the Kevaladvaita Vad of Shankara, and even to enter into that Vedanta Sutra, how one has to be trained in Nyaya, Mimamsa, no one's got any, including me, I'm saying this, such depth of understanding. Because people's whole mentality in the modern age is so much overcome by Rajagun and Tamagun, they can't even begin to understand these subtleties of philosophical understanding. So the education was a very, very high class education. Austerity also comes automatically. Until recently in India, people, there were no fans. In the Gauriya Math, when the people would sometimes come and criticize in the time of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur, they have electric fans. What's that? That's only for very luxurious people. Why are sadhus having that? People, they wouldn't have it. And then one of my godbrothers told me, he saw one of Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati's disciples in old age, in the heat of the summer. You don't have heat in Bangalore. But those of you who are from Tamil Nadu or Andhra, you know what is the... Well, you don't know because you have electric fans. and air conditioners. But in old age, someone turns on electricity, no, turn it off. Someone comes to the phone, no, he won't tolerate. Tangs to tikshas for Bharat. Let us tolerate. Why should we have this convenience? That was the training and culture to tolerate. Whereas in the modern age, people get upset if it's just a little bit too hot, they have to have a fan. If it's a little bit too cold, they have to make some arrangement. If there's a little disturbance in our comfort, people become so much disturbed. Last year I was in Germany. Just a small incident, but it just stuck in my mind. I was just standing in a driveway waiting for the devotee to bring the car. It's like an underground driveway outside an apartment with the cars underneath. And I was going to the airport, and it was work time. So this woman came driving her car out, and I didn't instantly recognize. I didn't like jump out of the way. And she had this look on her face like of extreme frustration, because it took me 3 seconds more than she thought I should have to get out of the way. It's like, something had tortured her or something, because I was a little slow in getting out of the way. Not deliberately to frustrate her, but I was just, I wasn't tuned into the fact that, a good German, when he sees a car coming, gets out of the way promptly. So it's like a little disturbance in her, how the world should function, or according to the way she thinks it should. And look of extreme frustration. I thought, this is madness. People are living they're so upset by such a small thing. Then how frustrated they are, how unhappy they are. If such a tiny thing makes them so upset. So tolerance, this comes automatically by that simple living, Vedic culture. It's a very good quality for spiritual realization. But in modern education, you see they're advertising schools, air conditioning. There shouldn't be air conditioning for schools, because in real life, you have to suffer and struggle so much. If you make it too comfortable, then how are the children going to... If life is just made very comfortable and easy for them, then they won't be able to cope with the world. And actually, we see that in terms of real life understanding, education begins when you stop having a formal education. We see that... If someone joins our movement directly from school or college without having to struggle in the workplace, then they can't even wash their own clothes, or you tell them to do something and no clue how to do it. So they're not the modern education. It's not practical. And even what you study, you see, if you study engineering in the college, whatever you study, it's guaranteed minimum 5 years behind what is the actual state of engineering at the present time. Because by the time they write the syllabus and get it approved and start to teach it, then they have to train the teachers, and it's already they're at least 5 years behind what's actually going on in the market. So that whatever you learn, it has absolutely no application in the actual world. And you have to learn all over again when you come out. So it's even for the society that's meant for, it's completely impractical. So Vedic education teaches tolerance. Of course, the subject for the brahmanas is the ultimate subject is how to conquer birth and death. What is the ultimate truth? Not just learning so that you can be very proud. We find that in the Shastra also, that's mentioned. Shweta Ketu came back after learning so many things, very proud. And his father said, well, you learned so many things. Yes, I know so many things. Well, do you know that which pervades everything, is the ultimate basis of everything? Well, no, my teacher didn't. You know, the real thing you never learned. Vidyadadati vinayam. Actual knowledge gives humility. Vidya vinaya sampane brahmane. A brahmana is expected to be learned and humble because actual knowledge brings humility. If we actually understand how great is Krishna, how small are we, then we must be humble. One who is proud, he cannot, it's understood, he's not actually learned anything. And then, because the teachers, they're teaching with such a, they want to impart this to the child. And naturally, between an elder and a child, there's a natural feeling of affection, and the guru wants to impart all that he's learned to the child and correct them if they do something wrong. He's the teacher gives himself to the child. He's just simply thinking how to give this knowledge, how to train this child so that he can be first class. The guru always wants to see that the disciple can become better than me. So he trains him. Yes, come up, learn more, do better. And naturally the students become very grateful, and there's a great bond of affection, which the student may go away, but he can never forget what the guru has done for me, how he's trained me. But there's no such thing in the modern college. It's just, like I say, you go in, you learn, and you come out. That's all. There's no... You won't see your teachers. You don't feel much gratefulness to them because they're doing it as a job. So that affection, that's missing. And we see in modern life, they try to replace that affection with sense gratification. Listen, have this iPod, listen to this music, go to a party, drink alcohol, have girlfriends. But it's no replacement for the fulfillment that comes from learning substantial knowledge in an affectionate atmosphere. You can have AC school, swimming pool, tennis courts, but none of that will substitute for the affection that comes from the teacher, who is an ideal person, simply giving himself to help the student to develop. So, of course, in the brahmanas, they would have an intensive education, shastric education, kshatriyas. They would also be trained in dharma. Everyone was trained in dharma, but especially brahmanas and kshatriyas. And kshatriyas, they had practical work in the world. So education is based on our basic worldview. How do you want your children educated? If we think that the most important thing in life is to, the most important thing in life is to make money, be respected in society, that's the first thing. And other things we can think about afterward. Then we will send our children for such education. But if we realize that the really important, the most important thing in life is what happens after this life. And education goes on throughout life to prepare for that examination. What is the examination? Yang yang va pismaran bhavam tyajyante kale varam tang tame vaite kauntaya sadatad bhava bhavita. Whatever the state of our consciousness at the time of death determines our future. So the whole of life is training for that examination. But if we think that we're living here so we can enjoy, and yeah, we can do some religion on the side, we can have a little Hare Krishna on the side, then we're imbalanced, not in proper focus. So Srila Prabhupada very much wanted to re-establish Vedic education. That can be done more easily within a society that accepts that, the whole society that accepts it. But it requires some people to be convinced that this is what is required. Unless we're convinced, then we won't be able to have that boldness to go against the whole of society. We should go against the whole of society, because the whole of society is going in the wrong way. Go against it doesn't mean that we're going to blow it, you know, park bombs in cars, or not like that. But our behavior should not. We should mold our lives in such a way that we can think of Krishna. Whereas modern society is mold our lives in such a way that we have no higher thought, only how to gratify the senses. So, Hare Krishna, is there any question about this, please? No question. Yes, you have a question. Just wait, I think we're going to get a mic. Okay, you got it. Yeah. It is, yeah.
Within the stone also, there is a thought that Vedic system means a little bit of midday meal and a little bit of teaching.
It's promoted like that. Give, donate so that the children can have a good education, develop the country. Totally mundane. You won't find any such thing in Bhagavad Gita or Srimad Bhagavatam.
So what is the way forward?
What is the way forward? Study Guru, Sadhu and Shastra and live according to that. Otherwise you can have a sign, ISKCON, Founder Acharya Prabhupada. It's like Christianity. They put Christ and they crucify him and they don't follow anything he says. So don't crucify Prabhupada. It's not, if I'm speaking, it's not me speaking against modern education. Where did I get this from? I learned it from Prabhupada. Listen to what Prabhupada, read his books. Listen to what he says. He is Krishna's emissary from the spiritual world. Come to lead us. Agyanitimirandhasya gyananjana shalakaya chakshuran militam yena tasmai shri gurave namah. We worship Srila Prabhupada as the founder acharya, the guru, because he gives us knowledge by which we come out of ignorance. That means we have to listen to what he says. We have to accept his teachings. Otherwise, if we think that a guru it just means some picture on the altar, that's it, beginning, middle, and end, then we don't know what a guru, then we don't get the benefit. We have to learn what he says because we are in ignorance.
You can
go to university, but you remain in the same ignorance. As long as we don't get knowledge of the difference between the body and the soul, then we haven't even advanced one step out of ignorance. And as Srila Prabhupada often pointed out, there are so many big universities, so many departments. Where is the department for teaching the difference between a dead body and a living body? This basic point, beginning of spiritual knowledge, there's no university in the world will teach this. They might teach, well, according to Hindu religion, blah, 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 blah. But they don't teach definitively what is the difference between a living body and a dead body. What is the nature of matter and what is the difference of spirit? They should teach that. Simply to teach, well, Krishna, who was considered to be, he's considered a Hindu god, who some Hindus, they say he's one of the Hindu gods, and he is said to have spoken Bhagavad Gita on this mythological war. And according to that, in the Hindus believe in reincarnation. This is worse than useless. We don't hear from mundane scholars about Krishna. Hear from Prabhupada. Yeah.
Are there any situations where secular education can be used in Krishna's service?
Are there any... Well, practically any situation. Learning to read and write is a basic skill that is imparted, that can be used for studying Prabhupada's books. Knowledge of this material world can be used in Krishna's service, no doubt. But the mindset that goes with modern education is this is it, this is the goal of life. And it's very deeply rooted therein. See, if someone goes, say a devotee's going to be a householder and he gets a degree in computer science or something because he has to maintain a family. Well, you can do that. We're not going to say that don't have any education of any kind or any, under any circumstances unless it's Bhagavad Gita. You can do that, but when one should understand what the goal of life is. Things like computer science or even medicine, of course medicine, they have to slog so much. And the association is very bad. That's another point, the association is very bad. The doctors, they're very materialistic people. And very proud, extreme, mostly, not all of them. But but if you go into, well, in India people, there's hardly any departments of humanities or anything like that. But if you go into sociology, anthropology, psychology, I mean, it's based on a worldview, which are very atheistic, actually, and very distorted. So these are really dangerous subjects. Indology, very dangerous subjects. Now, practically anything can be used in Krishna's service, unless we're very clear about what we're doing, then by associating with people who have... Basically, the educational institutions are full of extremely materialistic people. So unless we're very strong in Krishna consciousness, we're going to be influenced by that. Therefore, I recommend homeschooling better. And the basis of the homeschooling can be Prabhupada's books. They can learn, if you read Prabhupada's books, you can learn much better English than you'll learn in any educational institution in India, because Indian English is horrible. And you'll learn to think clearly so you can study any subject afterward. In the modern educational institutions, actual thinking is... The actual capacity to think and consider in an intelligent way is crushed because they just teach you in mechanistic subjects like engineering and or what they call science. It's just a very very mechanistic way of thinking. Whereas if we study philosophy in from Prabhupada's books, then it's to use that cliche. It's mind expanding. We actually see the world in a very broad manner. And if we actually study Prabhupada's books in the way that he wanted us to, he said that we should discuss from various angles of vision, then our intelligence becomes so developed that we can study anything. Sometimes people say, well, if you don't train the children in this academic knowledge, then later if they don't want to be devotees, then they'll be lost. Well, the counter to that is, well, if you don't train them in Krishna consciousness, they'll really be lost because they have to get birth after birth. But if you train children in the knowledge in Prabhupada's books, they become so intelligent and clear-headed that they can pick up anything very quickly. And I'm not just saying that. There's the devotees in America, they've been doing homeschooling and they're sending kids to Oxford. I'm telling them, why send them to Oxford University? They could do much better. They could study with Gopi Pranadana Prabhu, much better than going to university. But they're going at age 14 to Oxford University And I asked the devotees who spearheaded this homeschooling, I asked them, what's the basis? What's the secret? He said, we teach them Prabhupada's books from an early age. That's the education. Then later on they can do anything. It increases your intelligence, even from the mundane point of view. So homeschooling, what do you think? Shameshwari Devi Dasi. She's a teacher in a gurukul with two children, her own children. Tell us some shlokas. Who's that? Keshav. Anadma, I was trying to teach him the other day. I'm not as good a teacher as his mother. Come, come. Tell us some shlokas. Yatra Yogeshvara Krishna. Tatra Shriya. I advised his parents, don't send them to school. Have the school in your home. Better. So that's nice there. They're with their mother. She cooks for them, teaches them everything. It's not gurukul, but it's better. Much better than the schools. And they learn the syllabus is Prabhupada's books. That's the syllabus.
Can it happen that we can open such type of schools?
Can it happen that we can have such type of schools? Whatever you're going to say, whatever you're going to say, we should have such type of schools that Prabhupada told us to have. There's no need to ask anything else. Isn't that better? Guru Mukha Padma Vakya Chitete Korea Aikya Arna Kori Homane Asha. Don't even think of anything else. Just stick to what Prabhupada said. Everything will be perfect. Whatever problems we have in our ISKCON is that we have not followed this principle. Of course, that's to be expected because we are materially conditioned. But it's not expected that everyone's going to be a perfect, pure devotee. But all success comes from following the instructions of the Self-Realized Spiritual Master. So just stick to what Prabhupada said. Everything will be perfect. Prabhupada told us what to do for education. We should do that. Now, there have been problems in our gurukul, but that doesn't mean that what Prabhupada told us is wrong. It means that we didn't do it properly. We should do it properly. Better don't even think of other things.
Maharaj, most of the devotees, they also send children to school and teaches Krishna consciousness at home.
They teach Krishna consciousness at home. There's not much time for that, is there? Because the parents don't have much time and the children don't have much time. The children are so busy working and the students are so busy studying. I see most initiated devotees, it's like a struggle for them to fit in 16 rounds. They're working so much. They don't have... In modern life, people don't have much time for their children. Husband's out at work, mother's out at work. I think in America, I saw something, the average, for those children who actually have parents, two parents, which are not that many, mostly they're living only... Not mostly, but many are living with their mother or their mother's second or third or fourth husband. Not joking. This is it. And now they have the... homosexual and lesbian family. Husband and husband. It means two men are married... and they adopt some child. Or two women are married. I mean, it's finished. Western civilization, it's already finished. It's just a matter of time. They can't remain like this. So, yeah, but anyway, the average time that parents spend with children in a week is about 2 hours, and most of that sitting in front of the TV together, and they actually speak with each other throughout a week for a total of about 20 minutes. And that's in America, where people have more time than here. People don't work so hard as they do here. India's economy is developing because people are working so much. In the West, they don't work so much. So you get more out of the... You squeeze the people more, and then the economy develops, as they call it. The economy develops. So it's a nice idea, maybe, that you send them to learn all these demoniac things, like we're descended from monkeys, and eating meat is very good, and all these things that they teach at school. And then at home you teach them Krishna consciousness, but practically it's not going to happen, is it? Where's the time? You don't even don't have time yourself for Krishna consciousness, then what are you going to teach your children? Prabhupada had what would be considered very radical or revolutionary ideas. Get out of this society. Go to the land. Live simply. You don't have to live like this. Who's bold? Who will do it? Then everyone will be against you. Oh, you're not treating your children properly. You're stupid, this, that, and the other. You have to have faith in what Prabhupada told us. We have more faith in the demons, what they tell us, unfortunately. Yeah.
Maharaj, Gurukuls and now, you know, very, very few people will digest, and especially because of...
I know, I'm saying this. I don't expect hardly any of you to believe anything that I'm saying. But there may be one or two.
So if it does,
all right, you know, you can just forget this and you can go on with your life. But if any of you want, you can take it. That's all. Let there be one moon. There may be many stars. Let there be one moon. When I'm not speaking that, I don't expect everyone's going to accept this. But if you want, you can.
But especially when we preach Krishna consciousness, we talk about numbers as well as the...
Yeah, there's quality and quantity. But as you increase the quality without regard for the quantity, it becomes meaningless. It becomes increasingly meaningless. Then it's just a numbers game. Who's got more? Then we're in competition with the Sri Sris and the Amas. Oh, bring more, 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 more. We've got so many. I'm not in competition. I'm not in competition with anyone to get more people.
No, my question is, like, more people can take up...
They can take up this demoniac way of life and squeeze in a little Hare Krishna on their clicker, if they remember. Yeah? Okay, it's true. But I heard Srila Prabhupada speak, and I was inspired by Prabhupada because he wasn't like the equivalent of... Nowadays they have the Sri Sris and the Amas, and in those days they had the Bal Yogeshwar and the Yogi Mahesh and so many bogus things. That was my inspiration, and I'm just going on speaking that, that's all. So if you like, you can take. You're taking to some extent. Earlier you used to think that you came from apes.
Yeah. It was not in our books. So
you believed it. Now you don't believe it.
Yeah, because after coming to Krishna consciousness, I came to know what is all the things. So can
why do you believe that you have not descended from an ape?
Because I got a clear picture from there and a clear concept here.
No, but what is that clear picture?
I got the words of Krishna, what Krishna said.
Krishna says that, but who's Krishna? The scientists, they've done so much research, they have so much evidence that we're descended from apes. And you just believe something which someone says. You don't even know if there was a Krishna. It's just what the people who say that, they're not scientific people. Scientists, they've done a lot of research. They've dug up bones, they've done carbon dating. They have very comprehensive theories. These are all very learned people. Why should you disbelieve them? Well, that's just your belief. That's just your belief. How can you say they're not perfect, but they have a very scientific method of investigation? They study, they can show something which you can actually verify, whereas you're just saying, Krishna, you know, what's this? Why should any intelligent person accept that? It's just your blind faith, fanaticism. It's against the progress of human society to speak like this. It's very dangerous, you see. You know, you have to send your children to school so they can learn science. Instead, you're coming up with all these fundamentalist, outmoded theories. What are you going to say? What are you going to say? You see, you've been educated. You had blind faith that we descended from apes. Now you have blind faith that we're not descended from apes. So that's a better blind faith. But unless we're well educated in Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana, then we won't be able to convince others except on the platform of blind faith, that the blind faith of others, which they call scientific, is not scientific. That's another reason we have to educate people in Krishna consciousness so they can actually preach. We don't want to, you see, this idea that you send them for a mundane education, have Krishna consciousness at home, and what will that be? Story, Prahlad coloring book, that's as far as it will go. Stories from Ramayana. But to have a thorough education in Bhagavat Tattva Vijnanam, that takes time and rigid education. Just like to become a doctor, it takes time. You have to have a rigid education, a lot of dedication. So to actually educate people in the principles of spiritual science, it's not going to happen in 20 minutes a week that you have the time with your children. And you don't yourself know the principles of Bhagavat Tattva Vijnana. So how are you going to teach them? If you can only teach them the blind faith that you have, and then they're going to think, well, you know, I have actual... What happens is, people, they believe out of their piety in Krishna, but they're convinced. They have like two divisions in their way of thinking. They think, actually, the science is right, but we also believe this. And they can't put the two things. Once on a train ride, I was speaking with a professor at Kalyani University. He was from Kalyani University in West Bengal. And I was preaching to him. He was from a Vaishnava family, and he was a science professor. And I was preaching all this Darwin's theory is bogus, and he was bringing out this and that. But he was, anyway, after some time, he said, oh, okay, all right. Well, before, you see, I was born in a Vaishnava family, but I was educated like this. So I believed in Shastra, but at the same time, I believed in this science, and I couldn't put the two things together. I couldn't think both things at the same time. He said, now I think I can begin to understand. So if we give our children scientific education, so-called scientific education, that will seem to them to be more real. And in their sentimental religious life, they may believe in Krishna. And they may say, well, actually we didn't descend from apes, but they don't have any understanding of it. So we really need to educate people in spiritual science, rather than educate them in mundane science, which is opposed to actual knowledge of reality, and give them in the little spare time we have a little sentimental, what we call